My name is Sabrina and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. So, you're stuck with me as the Al-Anon speaker. And the topic of today is to thy own self be true. And that's what Al-Anon did for me in the first place, to be true to myself for the very first time in my life. I actually want to start about where I am today. Today I have my own business. I never thought that I would have my own business. The business is growing and I'm actually feeling, at this moment I'm very nervous, but usually I'm quite happy and yeah, that's it. And I want to start where I came from and then how I get to Al-Anon and how I got where I am now. So, I came from a dysfunctional family, or else I wouldn't be standing in front of you. And my mom and dad separated when I was at the age of 4. I had a really bad relationship with my father. He was in and out of my life for several years. And actually, I think because of this program and the help of my sponsor and working the steps, we are in contact now for 3 weeks, and I'm like, that's after 20 years without any contact at all. So that's what the program gave me today. Anyways, back. my mother fell in love with an alcoholic, and that was my stepfather. It was never discussed in our home that he was an alcoholic or whatever. He just had a problem with alcohol. And it was not that he was drinking every day or anything like that. It was just a binge drinker, and whenever he got a drink in his hand, he was gone. It was nothing left of the bottle, and everything needs to be finished. Thanks. Desperate need of water. Thank you. So I actually, yeah, it was never discussed, and I never thought that anything was wrong with the family I grew up in. It was just normal that whenever my stepfather went to a soccer game, that he was going to drink and he was going to be wasted when he got home. And the day after, we never talked about anything. It was just like, okay, just wake up and pretend nothing happened. And as I grew up, I saw my mother, like when he went to the soccer games, like getting nervous, getting restless, getting itchy, screaming at us, very short, a bad temper. She didn't have any patience. And that's how I saw my mother as a acting as a small child. And also, I could really recall what I recall from my childhood is her hanging on the phone and calling actually to the soccer club, because at that time we didn't have any cell phones yet. And she was actually calling the soccer team just to say, when is he coming home? I want to speak to blah, blah, blah. And when he's coming home, and he was like, yeah, I'll be home within an hour. We just finished the game. And then after half an hour, she was on the phone again and on the phone again. And when he didn't came home at 10 o'clock in the weekend, she still was on the phone, searching and being angry and just calling him all kinds of names until he came home. And how was it when he came home? Most of the time I was already in bed, but just really anxious waiting for him to arrive and listening. And I remember very clearly, this actually came back to me as I worked my fourth step, like, whoa, what is happening? I never thought I would remember this, but I really remember clearly that I laid in my bed and I could hear his footsteps coming down the path, and I could actually hear through the footsteps how drunk he was. So I knew if I could go sound to sleep and he would just be a little bit grumpy, or that I really need to be focused on what is going on. And that also sets the tone why I need Al-Anon in my life. And I'm so grateful that I came into the rooms of Al-Anon. because that hyper focus that I learned through that time in my childhood, it struck for me as an adult, that hyper focus. I had that for everyone in my life. If you need help, just call me, I'll be there. If you have a problem, I create your problem so I can be your hero and rescue you. So that's how I was. And I never had a sense of a healthy relationship. I didn't know what it was, because my stepfather and my mother were on and off in relationships, and one day he was there and the other day he wasn't, and then they were happy again and then they were fighting again. But it always had to do something with the alcohol. I know that my mom had set like limits for him, like that he couldn't be drinking or else this is the last time or else we will break up. And then they were like off for 2 months, and then all of a sudden there he was in the living room. I'm like, okay. And I knew from that time on also, here we go again. The story repeats. And as I grew older and grew into puberty, it was more like, okay, I'm just waiting when the bomb goes off again, and there we're off again, and they're not still together. And finally, at the age of 17, they really broke up. And I thought, wow, I finally get some peace in my life. Not the stress of their relationship in my life. But nothing of that was true. Because by that time, I already learned how to behave controllably, to manipulate, to people please. To know what your need is before you know what your need is. And that's how I lived my life. I lived my life like that until I was 27 and I came into the Al-Anon program. And before the Al-Anon program, I actually never knew that I grew up in a dysfunctional family. The first time I walked into the Al-Anon, into the Al-Anon room, somebody shared about her waiting her dad by the window and he came home drunk. And that's how I remembered the footsteps. That's how I remembered me laying in bed and just trying to hear if there's an argument or would he like call her any name in the book, or is he hitting her? What is he doing? Oh, where's my mom? Oh, she's making a plate of dinner. Oh my God, the plate is flying through the room because the meat wasn't cooked enough or whatever. It was crazy. And the odd thing was, when I woke up in the morning, there would be still a plate left somewhere and rice all over the floor and crazy. And somehow, I always felt that I grew up in a happy, normal family. So, that first time in the Al-Anon room, and I heard that story, strangely enough, I felt like, wow. For the first time in my life, I don't have to fake it. For the first time, I felt like, I am not crazy. These things really happened when I grew up. And I knew, I just cried the rest of the meeting. And all the meetings afterwards for maybe 3 months or so, every meeting I start crying because I recognize so much about what everybody was sharing. But I was also crying because I had to accept the fact that I grew up in a dysfunctional family. And it was really hard for me to accept. Because I always thought that I had this perfect family. And my mom was on this pedestal. She was the perfect woman. And how could it be that she was with an alcoholic? Cannot be true. But that's just how we grew up. He had a problem with drinking. He's not an alcoholic. He just drinks too much. That's, you know. So how did Al-Anon got into my life? Well, I got into a relationship with a recovering addict. But you know, every time he didn't feel so good or he was like in his own bubble, I felt the need to people please. I felt the need to rescue the guy. I felt that I need to do my magic in the kitchen and he would be so happy. And none of that was true. None of that was true. And actually, I went to a meeting with him and people there told me, there's also a meeting for you. You can go to Al-Anon. And I was like, thank you. Well, I think I go with him for support. He needs my support. Yeah, that's really important. So I think I did it for a few months and then something happened and I was like, I cannot take this anymore. Well, maybe I should try Al-Anon. And that's when I got in there the first day. I keep coming back. That's a better way to say it. I kept coming back and ever since that day. And I also got the expectation that Al-Anon would give me this book with answers. Like, this is what you should do so your addict or your alcoholic would not feel so bad. Or, yeah, if you would just clean the closets, then everybody would be happy. You know, just this magic wand and every problem would disappear. Of course, that didn't happen. And then I thought, oh, I should do the 12 steps. Oh, okay. Well, I will search for a sponsor and then every month I will do a step and yeah. After a year, I will definitely know how to handle the alcoholic. Okay. No, that didn't happen as well. And now I'm 5 years and somewhat in the program, and I'm in my ninth step. I'm at my second sponsor. So no, it took me. It takes me more than 5 years to finish all the steps. So that's an illusion. That's out of the window. And yeah. And I actually got a lot from the steps. Because that's what makes me what I am today. I got to this place, standing in front of you, not because I stayed at home in my bed crying and doing the same things I've been doing all these years. I'm standing here in front of you because I went to the meeting, I kept coming back to the meetings, and I've been working my steps, I've been doing service, and I'm also sponsoring. And that's what keeps me connected with the program. That's what keeps me connected with my higher power. Just do these things that the program suggests. And I actually, in this program, in Al-Anon, they talk about the loving interchange among members does help us to receive the priceless gift of serenity. And actually, I never thought before these 5 years, even like 3 years ago, I never thought that I would actually experience moments of serenity. But I do. And now I'm in a loving relationship with a recovering alcoholic. And I never thought that I would be a person who would be in a relationship with a recovering alcoholic. I used to really like hate, despise alcoholics. I was like, oh my God, those people, why? Ugh. Like the smell of alcohol or whiskey or whatever, I like, ugh, go away from me. Even, you know, when I went out in the disco or something and a guy was approaching me and he had a drink in his hand, I was like, please. Go away, far away from me. I don't like you just because you have a drink in your hand. So for me, this is a gift. For me, this is a gift to be able and stand here in one room with alcoholics or addicts and you're recovering. For me, that's a gift. Because of this resentment I had towards you people. In my wildest dreams, I would never imagine hugging Hugging of all things. Hugging people who I thought hurt me so much. In Al-Anon, I found women who could represent my mother. I love her very, very much. But she also chose the alcoholic above her children. And that is not because she didn't love me, because she didn't know any better. And thanks to Al-Anon, I don't have to have that resentment towards her anymore. And I'm grateful. That's why I always say I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, because of these things. Finally, I can see even like the addict on the street. They're humans to me now. They didn't used to be. For me, they were like pariah. Like, what the F? Go away from me. It's love. And now I could actually say a prayer and connect with my higher power and just give them over to a higher power. I say, okay, I just, one day I hope they will find recovery just like my recovering alcoholic did, just like I did. And that gift is that idea of being able to do and approach life like that. I never imagined I could. Do I really need to like speak the whole 15 minutes? Okay. For the people who are new in this room, like me, just keep coming back. And it really works if you work it. Unfortunately, sometimes I hear in the Al-Anon rooms like, yeah, well, he's recovering and he's doing so great in recovery. I'm like, and just please, please work on your own recovery. Because what my recovery gave me in Al-Anon is the ability to accept, the ability to love, not only the recovering alcoholic or the alcoholic or people, but really love myself as well, accept the things that I've done, that I've hurt people, that I've done things wrong, that I'm a people pleaser, that I can be jealous, that I can manipulate people to get my way, and that it's not very different than what my recovering alcoholic partner did. I just did it to him, or sometimes to other people to get my way. And there's just one thing that always kept me coming back to Al-Anon, and that are the lovely, lovely people, mostly women, who are in the rooms of those Al-Anon and always welcomed me with open arms and were there for me when my mom couldn't be, when I went through like heartache and pain, and they were there. And I always be thankful for that. I actually don't have a lot more to share about my Al-Anon story. This fellowship means a great deal to me. And I really, at the beginning, I was like, why the hell did they ask me to speak? What am I going to say? Like, I have nothing to share. There are people who are like 100 years in this program, so whatever. But you know, I didn't think I could do this. And one thing that always helps me throughout this whole, all this time that I've been in Al-Anon is the knowledge that, you know, that he will do for me what I cannot do for myself. And that's how I will end this share of mine. So thank you.